Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It is our number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we have some progress going here at Cowboys defensive coordinator. Todd Archer with the report about 30, 35 minutes ago now on their plans for tomorrow. Broaddus had told you back in Krusty's Corner at 3:40 he had heard there's going to be some interviews Friday. And, you know, we were standing by for that when Todd Archer broke in on Twitter with this. The Cowboys have requested permission to speak with Minnesota Vikings defensive pass game coordinator Durante Jones, Denver assistant head coach passing game coordinator Jim Leonard, who we've talked a lot about, and Browns safeties coach Ephraim Banda. These all for their defensive coordinator vacancy, according to multiple sources. They were denied by the Hawks, by the Falcons, rather, a chance to talk with Jeff Ulbrich. So what do we know about these guys? Banda at Cleveland, he's been working with Jim Schwartz. He has interviewed for the Colts defensive coordinator job in the last couple of years, coached at Miami for 6 or 7 years. Recruited a bunch of DBs, coached 9 different DBs that appeared in the NFL. He was a defensive coordinator at Utah State, and his defense was known to be aggressive, and he ranked amongst the national leaders in tackles for loss, but it was just a year, and then he went on to Cleveland, where he's been working with Jim Schwartz. So that's Banda, and then Durante Jones has been working with Brian Flores in the Minnesota Vikings. Brian.
Yeah, I got something here. This is a guy, I know a guy that worked with this guy, and he says he thinks he learned a lot from Flores. As you mentioned, he spent time at LSU. He wants fast corners over everything else. That's how he kind of thinks. Good guy, good to work with in personnel. Had coordinator interviews last year is what they did. And so
I think he's interviewed with 3 or 4 different teams.
Yeah, yeah. This guy knows Joe Witt. You know, he has a history with Joe Witt. And he says, just comparing, you know, Joe Witt was, you know, here last year or a couple years ago with
Dan Quinn.
So he said, just comparing, he's easier to work with than Joe Witt. I think Witt has more of an edge and presence than Durante does. He feels like Durante is a better evaluator. So there's your stuff for your players, you know, when you're looking at players as and coaches that have opinions. He thinks he's a better evaluator than Whip. I don't know what kind of scheme he would run. I have no clue what he knows about the front 7. And I'm not sure I see him as a coordinator just yet. I would say he's heading the right direction, but being around him, I think that maybe his time is probably sooner than later.
He was an LSU defensive coordinator in 2021, but he got blown out pretty quick. Yeah. And then, you know, he's been working in secondaries in the NFL since. He's coached DBs with the Dolphins, Bengals, and now the Vikings. I think they're in the right rooms there with Brian Flores and Jim Schwartz. If you can't get one of those guys, then, you know, find an up-and-comer who has been working underneath them. The story that I read, you know, said he was known for multiple look defenses and disguises and press man principles mixed with zone. But it's like, how do you even gauge that if you're not the actual DC?
Yeah, sure.
And then we got the Jim Leonard thing as well. And I know that's a name that's been on the tip of everybody's tongue. And he's working with the Denver Broncos. And this story, you know, is I think that's the most exciting thing about this, right? You've been talking about Jim for a week or so now, maybe a couple of weeks, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I mean, I know, even dating back to last year, you know, just talking with Bobby off air, that there Jim Leonard was a name that I think that there's been interest in across the league, but specifically with the Cowboys as well. I mean, he's a guy that was a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, was their interim head coach there, and then it's just been a rising star. I mean, what he's been able to do with Denver has been incredibly impressive. I think he's a guy, and I know John mentioned you can go and watch actually a coaching clinic of him. He is a teacher. He is a communicator. He's got a plan for what he wants to do, aggressive. And players, he has found the most, like, young guys. They're going to have a lot of young guys on that defense. He'll coach them up. You've seen young players be able to come into that system there in Denver and be able to hit the ground running. So even if they end up taking one of these guys in the first round, the opposite to maybe what you've heard from Brian Flores, where he might want some veteran type of players, I don't think Jim Leonard, it matters. I think young guys, he's not going to shy away from that. He'll embrace that challenge. So Jim's certainly a guy that I'd be very, very excited about. The Bonda name is interesting. He actually was at Texas. He's a San Antonio guy, but he graduated with his master's from Texas and then stayed on as a grad assistant. And he was with some of their, like, when they were DBU, the Quandre Diggs, Adrian Phillips, guys that went on to have really good NFL careers, Kenny Vaccaro with the Saints. He was one of the guys that was there at Texas during that time that continued to rise up the ranks, as you mentioned, with Utah State, and that has now been with Jim Schwartz there in Cleveland. So both these guys are really cool names. I mean, I'm excited the Cowboys are doing some coaching interviews with guys that aren't necessarily like everybody knows who they are. You know, yeah. They're actually digging for, hey, these are guys that we've done research on, we like, they could be up-and-coming names.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, you know, how much faith do you have, how much confidence do you have that Shoddy and the Joneses can not only find a guy that knows the schemes and knows how to teach it, but it can also carry that, is it a swagger, it's a composure, it's a leader of men component, and I'd say that'd be the biggest risk with the two other guys as far as, sure, you know, how much of that you know, sort of composure and kind of, it's one step closer to being a head coach, and you really don't know how a guy's going to handle that till he steps in there. Okay, are the Mavs now positioned to get what they need in the Anthony Davis trade, or is it becoming clear what the best possible scenario is going to be for them? I got that here for you in just a minute. Wolchuk had their hour and a half ago, the report from Tim McMahon, on Twitter, Ban McMahon, that Kyrie might not play this year. It's been a really interesting story arc with Kyrie Irving, because at the very beginning of the season, we're hearing best case scenario, he could be back before the new year. And then, you know, it's updated to early on in 2026. And then it was probably before the trade deadline. And now not before the trade deadline, might not play at all this year. I just hope this is precautionary. Like, let's make sure that we don't waste him and get him hurt again. Let's give him the full time, because he is an older player now, to come back from this torn ACL. And I hope there wasn't a complication.
Ooh.
You know, I hopefully this is just all like kind of a tank move and a let's give Kyrie the full year to, you know, recover from this and come back 2026, 2027 as good as he possibly can. But there are no further details on that story, right?
No, not that I've seen. Just that they're open to moving AD to a team that he wants to be, that will also give him the contract extension that he wants. And then the Kyrie stuff is all I've seen is exactly what you just said, that not going to be before the trade deadline and might not play this year.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's Kyrie kind of taking ownership of his just kind of health situation and being the one who's spearheading that, or if it's the Mavericks saying like, hey, just slow it down. We're kind of tanking for this year, and we want you as healthy as possible for next year. And then when it comes to Anthony Davis in that trade, I don't know how much it helps you in terms of getting the...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Assets you want in return. But in terms of getting a deal done, I think it is pretty ideal that Rich Paul and Clutch is kind of the middleman on all this. Because yeah, they seem to always get what they want.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, hey, if the mission is to get him paid and you know, yeah, it's not going to be with the Mavericks, they will effort to get him somewhere. And just in terms of getting rid of Anthony Davis, I think having Rich Paul in the middle here is great. I don't know how much it helps you in terms of the assets you're getting in return. Hopefully it's the best possible outcome from that standpoint. But just in terms of getting rid of him, having Rich Paul being the guy that's like back channeling everything, I think is ideal.
Yeah, I trust Rich Paul to to get it done a lot more than whoever is in charge of personnel with the Mavs right now.
No question.
And Sam Amick reported that every team in the East believes they're Anthony Davis away from making the finals.
Yeah, I guarantee
it. You would think that maybe that can stir up a bidding war. I mean, that'd be ideal if you're the Mavericks. Right now you're looking at expiring contracts and taking on maybe, so far, a lottery bust.
Yeah, we need that to start picking up momentum. And as we get farther down this month and the trade deadline, what is it, February 6th, I believe, like, we need to start hearing those reports now that the interest in Anthony Davis is heating up because, you know, while he is a significant injury risk, he is the best player available when healthy. And he could change you from being a team that does not have an inside scoring threat, does not have a rim protector, and is bad on defense to, you know, top 10 in all three of those categories with one player. Now, it is a big risk to stay healthy, but if you already know we're not going to win the championship with this group, that risk is really sure. Your only opportunity to get there. So the news started with the Trae Young to the Wizards story, and they made the deal for McCollum and Kispert. But inside that deal was something much more interesting. Shams Charania reporting that part of the deal for Atlanta was freeing up the cap space that they would need to go for Anthony Davis. So Atlanta has a really weird future draft pick situation where it's basically pick swaps with the Bucks and Spurs. There might even be another team in there, but the Pelicans pick is the big trade chip. And last night we talked about, hey, you might have to wait until the summer to trade Anthony Davis because none of these teams want to give up a pick that could end up being Peterson or DeBonta. But how else could the Atlanta Hawks make sense as a trade partner with the Mavs if you assume they don't want to give up the Pelicans pick that I think right now is second or third in the draft lottery odds? If you got the second-year player Risacher, is that how I say it? Risacher?
Risacher,
okay.
Yeah, it's a total it's mind weird. Bleeper.
So that player right there is like, hey, maybe he can be a starter for us, but the idea of him being a future star player in the NBA is probably a pretty big long shot. So I need additional value, and you don't want to give up the Pelicans pick. 25-year-old center Okongwu, averaging 17-8. This is the guy right here, because if you're giving up Anthony Davis, who's 6'11", this guy's 6'9". He plays power forward. He plays center for him. You give me one of those other picks. It's a pick swap with the Spurs. It's a pick swap with the Bucks. You give me Risacher. You give me Okongwu. That might work. You are getting some young upside in Risacher. You're getting a solid big man who can play center. And then a little bit of draft capital. Would you guys do this? He is a guy who can shoot threes. He can score. He can rebound pretty well for his position. He is the modern center. He switches on guards all of the time. He's almost like an older small forward, like if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, like what a small forward used to be is kind of what Okongwu brings to the game. And, you know, you're replacing Anthony Davis. Now you have Gafford, Lively, and Okongwu, and then you get some draft capital on top of that. The weaknesses of him are he's not a rim protector, okay. But he's only missed one game this year. And I think that's got to be.
Yep.
He'll probably end up being more productive and impact winning more from this point forward than Anthony Davis. So I don't know if they're willing to give him up. But if I'm going to do a deal with the Hawks, that would be, you know, maybe what I would agree to at this point. The other option for me is just waiting till the end of the deadline to see if it heats up and something else comes in. But I think like shutting down Anthony Davis for the rest of the year would be the second best option, you know, and I don't think it's, you know, that far of a stretch right now. If he could, he's going to have another injury. Now you just have to exaggerate it. Like if he plays the remaining 50 games of the season, there's got to be at least a half dozen injuries in there. Pick one of them, stretch that thing out for 2 months and make sure that you have a pretty good a draft lottery situation.
Yeah, I'm in favor of this guy. I'm trying to familiarize myself with him here a little bit, but he is, he's gotten better every year from a point scoring standpoint, and now he's up to 16 points per game. He's playing like 32 minutes a night, and field goal percentage and stuff like that looks pretty good. Looks like he's at least respectable from downtown, and his three ball's gotten better every year. Now he's at 36%. So you even have some of that element to his game, even though he's only probably going to take about two a game. But yeah, that would be awesome.
36% is respectable from a big man. You can legitimately play five out.
Right.
Yeah. He can switch everything. I think that is, you know, sort of the prototype of the modern big, and you got to give up something usually to get that and not having great rim protection is there. But as long as Gafford and Lively are on the team, you know, you're going to be more than chock full at that position. But LOL, y'all don't want basketball. I do. You know, I really want basketball. Like, it was a heartbreak last year when Luka was dealt, and you know, because we should be entering the golden era or the second golden era of talking about Mavericks basketball here on 105 Through the Fan. He's gone, and now we're back into the pre-Luka mode of, wow, this team is bad. And you know, there's no reason to believe that that's going to change in a meaningful way in any time in the near future. But if you can tank this year and get, you know, Peterson, DeBonta, or Boozer, there's another player as well, Caleb something, who's a top five pick that, you know, I think could significantly improve the Cooper Flag long-term outlook on this team in a way that gets us excited, and it becomes a very legitimate sports radio topic and sports TV topic. What's the cutoff age-wise? I think it's right there at 25. Like, they'll probably try to pawn off is it Walker Alexander, the wing type player? He's averaging 20 points per game. Good player, yeah. But he is 28 years old.
Alexander Walker.
It's other way around. Nickeil Alexander Walker. Good player. And if he was 6 years younger, I would say this is the perfect guy to put along Cooper Flag to develop long term with. But it's a tough puzzle to put together here right now for the Mavericks. But I'm trying to figure out a way that it would make sense for me from Atlanta. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We are 13 minutes from college football playoff semifinals, and we're about 5 minutes from a sports hodgepodge, Chief.
Yeah, let's prep our bodies for kickoff in the Fiesta Bowl. Everything you need to know next year in the nation.